Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Freedom is just another word for the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast that votes in every election. Here he is, podcasting for the good of all mankind. It's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We are so happy to have you joining us today. And I use the third person advisedly because you don't know yet that you may not know that I have company. I have an associate looking over my shoulder. So that's the we, but we are happy to have you with us. And we are hoping that your journey to and through and away from Medicare will be a happy and successful one. And that's what I'm here to help you do. The way I help people, generally speaking, is I encourage them to buy my book. I encourage them to go to BarnesandNoble.com or to Amazon.com and put in the search window, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And if you use the wrong numbers, you might get an older edition of the book. They're still out there selling them. They won't let me take them off the market. So you want to get Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. And when you're at Amazon, you'll have your choice of a paperback, which seems to be the most popular. That's an $8 item. The ebook or the Kindle version, which is going to be $3.80. You have to have a reader for them to download it to. Of course, there is the Audible version wherein I do all of the work for you. I extract the information. I enunciate the information. I put it into your brain, and then I turn the page every time that's required. So the Audible book, I think, is around $6. I don't really know for sure because when you go to Amazon, it tells you that it's zero. You get it for free, but they want you to join their Audible book club in order to qualify for that. So I don't know what the retail price is if you just buy it, but I think it's around $6. And then finally, the pièce de résistance, the crown of my crown jewels, the jewel of my crown jewels, is the $22 hardcover version of Medicare for the Lazy Man 2023. It has a hard cover that you can smack people with if you need to. It has beautiful color illustrations inside, and it's just one of these things that's you barely want to read it. You really want to put it on your shelf and keep it for your posterity so that your children have a quality inheritance that they can brag to their friends about. Ah, my parents really knew what quality was. Look at this fine edition of this tome, this golden tome full of Medicare knowledge. Anyway, that's $22, and it's an excellent thought for a gift for a friend or relative you might have that's approaching age 65 or thinking about retiring from their job, whatever age they might be. So that's what I'm here to help you do to get through Medicare. Buy my book, and it'll ease your progress, and it'll take away some of the trepidation people fear when they're approaching Medicare. Anyway, I mentioned earlier that I have an associate with me today, and that associate, it will come as a shock to some people, Randy Carson. He's joining us for the whole episode today. Either he has turned over a new leaf or else I have forgotten all of his many contributions to our prior episodes. But Randy, it's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I feel like we've been gone, not seeing each other in the studio for quite some time, but I guess it hasn't been that long, but you've been busier than a one-eyed cat watching two mouse holes, as we used to say back in the Midwest.
Wow, I thought it was a one-armed paper hanger or a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest, but that's a new one on me. Yeah, the whole thing is you had a week off where you entertained some out-of-town guests that came to Arizona when the weather turned magnificent, so their timing was perfect. And then what happened? The last few hours or days or weeks, what, something transpired. Oh, I know what it was. I had to tell you, we've got to put off the recording because I had so many applications sitting on my desk and on the floor, which I've been using as a filing system, which is pretty stupid, if you ask me. I had so many applications that I had to say, okay, we got to stop doing the podcast so I can get the applications off to the insurance companies because the end of the month was looming. And that meant for a weekend where I didn't see the outside at all. All I did was submit applications to insurance companies. I got to tell you, that's the best part of the business. It's the culmination of all the preparatory work that we do. But it's tension producing because if I'm going through an application and there's something missing, oh God, I've made a mistake. I forgot to ask them this question. Now I need to find that person and ask them for this piece of information. So it's it can be frustrating, but ultimately it's very rewarding that so many people have put their faith in me and by extension you, that we're doing the right thing by giving them good information.
You know, I didn't think about that, but you do have somewhat of a deadline around the first of each month because you've got, because what you do is very directly related to people's ages and birthdays.
It is, and to people's departure from their company. So if right. they say, okay, I'm going to retire on the 30, on the let's say the 12th of a month, often their medical insurance goes from the first of the month to the end of the month. And so they want to get their Medicare coverages to start the first of the following month. Or if they have a birthday and they turn 65, let's say they're not tied to their work benefits. So when they turn 65, it's the first of the month in which they turn 65, they become eligible for Medicare. So it is always tied to the first of a month for the most part.
You know, and so of all the years we've worked together, it never occurred to me that you had kind of a first of the month, every month, first of the month, every month sort of a deadline.
One reason it didn't occur to you was the fact that we have gotten more successful as time has gone by. Your excellent work, you and Margaret, has caused a surge in demand for the product and service that I offer. So it's kind of a, if it's like, which came first, the chicken or the egg? If you guys hadn't right. been doing whatever you do, then I wouldn't have that rush of that demand for the resources that occurred at the end of this past month. By the way, I started our 20-minute timer, our cube. We're going to try it again, Randy, and see if 20 minutes can...
So we're going to see if it actually works, huh?
Yes, except it's now beeping at me. Can you hear it?
No.
Then I can hear it clearly. You can't hear it at all. I'm holding it next to the microphone. That means this thing is too damn quiet. I'm going to make another adjustment. I was told by the next-door neighbor who told Mary about these things that there's a volume control, but I swear I cannot. All right. Well, we're going to see if I can hear it at the end of 20 minutes. And
I mean, if you can hear it, I guess that's all that matters, but I
yeah, but
cannot
shutting me
hear
up
it.
Is, shutting me up is your job, Randy. You've got to say, hey, quiet down.
We burned up our 75 cents, Doug. Let's stop.
That's the whole idea of having a timer that you can hear. So, all right, well, let me dive right into it then. And let us start with the, I don't really have these things in any order. I do, this caught my eye this morning, so I had to print it up so I'd remember to tell you. And you might be able to help me with this, Randy. There's an insurance company that has a coffee hour. They call it a coffee hour. It's really a Zoom thing. They started doing it when COVID, you know, when the panic started. And it's their way of staying in touch with people like me, with brokers and stuff. I've never really attended one of these things because a lot of it is about products that I don't sell. But some people do. It's Medicaid and other types of products, Medicare Advantage. This company really loves to sell Medicare Advantage. and I don't, and therefore I have never really been to one of their coffee hours. And Randy's shaking his head, no. But this morning they had an interesting thing, and here came an email after their coffee hour session was over, and I was wondering how this works. It says, "Dear valued partner," and apparently they're not talking to me because I'm not that valued, but it says, "Today's Humana," ooh, that's the company, "today's coffee hour session was dedicated for updates for new CMS marketing rules." Oh boy, I could spend a whole episode on those stupid things. "And the guest speaker's projection was hacked by an attendee in the group." Now, they had a guest speaker, and apparently the guest speaker was talking about the new CMS marketing rules, which are things like Randy and I have discussed, where you can have a gathering of potential prospects. You can put them all in a room. You're not allowed to serve them a meal. You can serve them, let's say, turkey. You can flop some turkey on a plate. But if you serve them potatoes, then you have just provided a meal, and that is against the law. And so they've got all kinds of rules like that that we're supposed to adhere to if we sell Medicare Advantage plans, and I don't. Anyway, the guest speaker's projection was hacked by an attendee in the group. And my question to Randy is, what the hell would somebody do with a hacked presentation of some insurance dude? Why would anybody want to hack that?
You know, that's a great question. I don't really have a good answer for that. I don't know why they would want to hack a presentation other than, you know, to make the guy's life miserable. But
how could they make a guy miserable? Okay, we got your presentation. It's like the best-selling edition of National Lampoon magazine, which was a cute little puppy dog and a guy holding a pistol to the dog's head saying, "Buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog." What are they going to do? Tell the guy that they're going to make fun of it? Or I don't know how that hurts the guy.
That's unusual because I just don't know. Obviously the guy that was in there to hack the presentation, or maybe he didn't hack the actual presentation. He was just here's one thing they could do.
Okay.
I suppose there's a way that if he really knew what he was doing and somebody else didn't, he could probably coerce someone into giving him host capabilities.
Okay.
So then he could have pretty much done anything he wanted to do on the presentation. But other than that, I don't know anything he could have done.
Naked dancing ladies in the background?
He could have had any number of things going in his background, but not everybody's background. Huh. It's an interest. I'll have to do a little research on that to see just exactly if somebody was going to it used to be that people that you didn't even know would log into your Zoom.
Right.
But now that's not really possible because Zoom requires all of your stuff to be password protected. So, you know, the link that you click on to go to a Zoom meeting.
Yep.
That's all encrypted just for you. So.
Yeah, I know they always say, don't share this with anybody because it's yours and yours alone. Well, this woman has threatened to do bad things to the person who hacked the presentation, but I don't know what there is about the presentation that was either hackable or, you know, would be interesting unless he planned to put it on the internet and charge admission and give himself credit for having lined up this particular speaker. Whoa. I don't know.
The problem is, Doug, is you and I just don't think that way. So I don't know what he could do to it.
Well, here's another indication of the fact that A, I've been too busy, and B, that I don't think the way that this person thinks. And this person, in my view, is much more intellectual than I am. He's got his brain working all the time, and he has sent me something that had my head spinning, and I've been sitting on this for about a week or so. It is our friend Dominic Regina, who has sent me a short message, and I swear, I've got a couple of other clients like this. I've never understood their rationale, and I'm not sure I understand Dominic's rationale, but I'm going to share this because if those guys have this thought process going on, then maybe others in the podcast audience do as well. But Dominic sent me a short message that said, "Hey, Doug, I was reviewing the Medicare.gov website." Now, see, that's a place that I stay away from unless I'm trying to find an answer to a specific question. Dominic dives into that as entertainment. And so then he's saying,
If Dominic reviews that for a good time, you and I need to get on the phone to Dominic and give him some alternatives.
Or maybe we can have him do a presentation for us and see if anybody hacks it. I don't know if anybody
absolutely.
Would.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so he said, "I found something called Medicare Blue Button." He's got two blues there, but that might have been a hiccup. But it's called Medicare Blue Button. It's a section that talks about how to download and share your Medicare claims data with others. It also lists a number of applications that can be used to share data with doctors, pharmacies, caregivers, or others. And then he asks, "Have you had any experience with these applications? Or perhaps, do you have a recommendation?" And then the next paragraph, he says, "I currently use an application called MyChart." Now, MyChart is certainly familiar to me because I was forced against my will by the giant hospital in Chicago that I went to have a surgical procedure done years ago. They said, "Okay, we want you to sign up for MyChart so we can talk to you all the time." MyChart, he uses to access his medical providers, medical history, etc., and he finds it very useful. And then he said he was wondering if there was something similar for Medicare. "Thanks in advance. Regards, Dominic." Well, you know, as happy as I am to have Dominic as one of our listeners and a valued client, and Mrs. Dominic as well, I don't understand this way of thinking. I've got a client in California who said he was disturbed with his Medicare supplement because it was not giving him enough information about his medical history. He has a fairly significant medical history, but good Lord, how much information about your medical history do you need to have since you're the one living it? I'm just having trouble with this. Anyway, so Dominic sent a page from Medicare.gov, and he said, this says, "Share your Medicare claims with Medicare's Blue Button, or via Medicare's Blue Button. You can download your Medicare claims data to your computer or device to print it and share it with others." I suppose if you go to a new doctor and they say, "Give us your medical history," it's easier to hand it to them on paper than it would be to sit there in their office and fill out a million forms. You can also easily share your data with doctors, pharmacies, caregivers, or others. Well, Ted Kennedy would be spinning in his grave because he's the reason we have all this HIPAA crap. It's unfortunate that the information is not easily shared, that you have to jump through all these hoops in order to share it. Anyway, let's see. You can easily share your data with doctors, pharmacies, caregivers, or others that you choose by linking to web applications or apps. This optional service called Blue Button is secure, reliable, and easy to use, says the government. By linking your data to apps authorized by Medicare, you can access and share all of your Part A hospital insurance, Part B medical insurance, and Part D Medicare drug plan claims. You can access and share all of your claims with doctors and others you choose. You can manage your health with other computer-based services the apps offer. You can control your health information. And then here's a highlighted paragraph. If you have a Medicare Advantage plan, your data will only include claims for your drugs. You can check with your plan to find out if it offers apps that let you access and share your health data. Well, Dominic has a Medicare supplement, and so this would not apply to him. And then the next little headline in this article, how do I download my Medicare claims data? Step one, log into or create your secure Medicare account. Number two, select Download My Claims and Personal Data from the drop-down menu under your name. Number three, complete the short online form to pick the data that you want and to save the file to your computer as a PDF or a TXT file. The next question, how do I share my Medicare claims data? So that first one was downloading. That's how you download. How do you share your claims data? With Medicare's blue button, you pick each app you want to use and sign up for the app and give it access to your data to share with others. You can log into your Medicare account to change or stop sharing your data with an app at any time. If you download or share your records, keep the file safe by treating it like banking or other private information that you don't want everyone to see. Keep your username and password private. Don't share it. Seems pretty elementary. Keep paper copies in a safe and secure place. Carefully, I've got a safe. I can put them in there and lock them up. Carefully review any apps or other services that they offer before importing your data. Medicare's Blue Button apps. These Medicare authorized web applications can help you keep all your medical records in one place. Many apps also offer features for you to find plans, make appointments, contact your provider, and check your symptoms. You can organize and share your medical information and claims with people you choose, and you can connect your claims data to research projects. Use the filter to show apps based on what features you want. When you find an app you like, review the terms of service, meaning read all of those many pages of fine print and then tell the app that you did, and then go to its website to enroll. Descriptions below come from each app. Contact the app for more information. Then there's a list of Blue Button apps. So that would be Dominic's thought as to the value of this particular function. Let's see, app features, make appointments and contact providers. I guess you can use a filter to search for apps that do these things. So if you put the check mark next to the things you like, it'll weed out the ones who don't do these. You can find plans, you can organize and share medical information and claims. You can connect to research and you can check your symptoms. So it sounds as though this would be an activity for somebody that has too little time on their, demands for their time, too much time on their hands. But frankly, Randy and I think both agree that we don't want to dwell on our medical conditions to that extent, but it's nice to know that that ability is there for people that want to. As I said, I've got a client in California who is wallowing in his medical information, and he, I think, is going to be interested to hear about this particular feature, Medicare Blue Button. That's the thing you want to check out. Interestingly enough, I had to go through the pile of stuff to find a document that pertains to this. A friend of ours, a neighbor of ours, actually came over to play cards, and she said, "I just got this from, it's in my mail from Maine." She lives in Maine in the summertime. And she said, "I don't know what it means. Would you explain this to me?" She is my client. She has a Medicare supplement that I have sold her, and she is really confused by this particular thing. She has a long history in the insurance business, but on the other side of the wall, the property and casualty area is her expertise. So she has a health insurance, a dearth of knowledge. As long as I tell her that her coverage is good, she's happy, and she's had no complaints for the last couple of years that she's had the coverage that I recommended for her. But in this case, she got a letter that she's having difficulty explaining. It was the first time I'd heard about it too, so I thought I'd share it with the audience. It is Maine Health is the organization, and it says Accountable Care Organization, or ACO. And it says, "Dear Medicare beneficiary, as requested by Medicare, we recently sent you an email informing you that your health care provider participates in the Maine Health Accountable Care Organization," which they abbreviate as ACO. "Through the Medicare Shared Savings Program, MSSP, Medicare Shared Savings Program, we are following up with some frequently asked questions regarding MSSP and accountable care organizations. First question is, what is the Medicare Shared Savings Program? The answer is that is it offers providers and practices and hospitals the opportunity to create an ACO or an accountable care organization. And the ACO agrees to be held accountable for the quality, cost, and experience and of care of Medicare beneficiaries. Next question, what is the MaineHealth Accountable Care Organization? The answer is that that is a group of doctors, hospitals, and other healthcare providers who have come together voluntarily to give coordinated, high-quality care to Medicare patients. The goal of the coordinated care is to ensure that patients get the right care at the right time while avoiding, and I like this, avoiding unnecessary duplication of services and preventing medical errors. The MaineHealth ACO is one of approximately 500 ACOs located across the country. When an ACO, an accountable care organization, succeeds both in delivering high-quality care and spending healthcare dollars more wisely, the ACO will share in the savings it achieves for Medicare. All MaineHealth providers are part of the MaineHealth ACO, along with providers at St. Mary's Health System and certain providers in private practice. So that's specific to Maine, but according to this letter, there are 500 of these ACOs, these accountable care organizations, scattered around the country. So it's likely that you're getting mail like this from your local area. Does Medicare share information with the MaineHealth ACO? The answer to that is yes. Medicare shares information about your care with your healthcare provider and the MaineHealth ACO. This helps ensure that you are getting the right care at the right time. Your data will always be protected by your provider and the ACO. If you have additional questions, you may contact them. Okay, so then I went to Medicare.gov, my source for all things Medicare, and I found a blurb that was really answering the question that my neighbor was concerned about. And frankly, I was concerned too, because this sounds like a first step to 1984, as far as I'm concerned. Government-regulated health insurance, that means government-rationed health insurance, and government-denied health insurance, just like we're seeing in Canada. Might take a few decades for the bad things to start becoming apparent, but in Canada, they started coming down on truck drivers that didn't agree with the government policies during the panic. And I'm sure that government-run health insurance, single-payer plans, is something that I never want to see in the United States. So I found this statement about ACOs on the Medicare.gov website. And of course, this is their position now. I hope it stays their position forever. But the statement is, an ACO, an accountable care organization, won't limit your choice of healthcare providers. It isn't a Medicare Advantage plan, an HMO plan, or an insurance plan of any kind. Only people with original Medicare can be assigned to an ACO. If your doctor or other provider is part of an ACO, you still have the right to visit any doctor, hospital, or other provider that accepts Medicare at any time, and your original Medicare benefits won't change. All right, so that's the situation now. So they're saying there's no reason to be afraid of an ACO. You can ignore its existence if you want to. But the thing that concerns me is this sounds like the first step towards what Canada has, which is province-level single-payer health plans that are endorsed by the Canadian government. And I'm hoping that we are able to stave off that sort of activity if, in fact, that's their intention. Okay, so obviously the beautiful little cube timer that I showed Randy did not work because Randy allowed me to completely dominate a half hour of, airtime, expensive, valuable airtime. So I'm going to quiet down now. I'm going to let him close out the episode as he does so well. Randy, would you take over, please?
I absolutely will. But I just wanted to mention a couple little side thoughts before I let us go for the day. When you were mentioning about the Medicare Blue Button app process.
Uh-huh.
You know what popped in, and they were talking about, oh, this is tremendously secure. Nobody will know who you are. You know, it's buried so far deep that they'll never know whose information this is.
Right.
I would just like to point out that this is kind of an interesting side piece of information. How many companies are there in the United States that still make floppy disks?
Gee, would that be zero?
One.
Oh, there is one. Okay, cool.
And why do they make them?
To steal people's information?
Because the government still uses floppy disks.
Oh, okay. I'm starting to understand the reasoning now.
So I would just caution everybody that says, this is great. I can start passing out my Medicare information like crazy to people and they'll keep it under wraps.
You're saying when they have a high-tech party, the government's the last one to be invited, huh? The last one
That's
to show
right.
up?
They're back taking their deliveries of floppy disks.
Oh, boy. And some of them, I'm sure, are still using 8-tracks to listen to their Beatles music
on. Yep. The bottom line is the government might portray themselves as highly secure, and I'm sure parts of it are. But there are dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of places in the government that are so far back in the world of technology, I wouldn't hand them a dollar bill without making sure they gave me a receipt, which they will pencil out on a little yellow pad.
Sure. And then they'll have carbon paper, too,
yes.
So they can keep several copies of the receipt.
And just one other thought. You remember the old statement, I am here from the government and I'm going to help.
Yes. Yeah, that's a Reagan statement. And I love Reagan like no other. I'll tell you, that guy had what it took to turn this country into a magnificent, magnificent operation. And so I think it's good to keep in mind some of the wisdom that he shared with us.
I wanted to just share that because when people start telling me the government is going to keep my stuff under wraps with the highest security, hogwash.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, take us out of here. I think when I listen to this episode in a while, I know that Mrs. Jones is going to be looking at her wristwatch going, Randy, will you please just do your job?
Okay. Well, the 75 cents is up already. I probably should have let you know that a couple minutes ago. But anyway, it is. Before we leave, I wanted to thank everyone for joining us at Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. We always thoroughly enjoy doing it for you because without you here, we would just be talking to ourselves.
Doug Jones, do all the time anyway.
Well, we do that anyhow, but he is without a doubt a licensed agent nationwide. You know, he's probably, I don't know how much time and effort and hours and money he spends keeping those licenses current, but, and even the District of Columbia, you know,
yes.
That's really something, you know, and you should see the plaques on his wall, you know, all the licenses. He doesn't even have to paint his office anymore. So anyway, he wants to hear from you. He loves getting your emails at dbj@mlmmailbag.com. Check out the website. We're still making changes. Doug and I were talking about it earlier before the podcast. We're still not done with it. We are going to get our heads together and put some final plans together soon. He already talked about the paperbacks, the audios, the Kindles. But if you could certainly find a place to give us a rating on our podcast and the books, it would be so appreciated. That way we can still compete with the rest of the world in the world of podcasting, which is really busy and getting worse. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, originally from Oklahoma. No more. He's in the high out. Oh, my gosh. How is it? It's high. 15,000, 16,000?
No, I'm basking in the sun today. It's beautiful.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll take you down about 3,000 feet then.
Thank you. Thank you.
Behind Cave Creek, Arizona, in his fortress of solitude. And we are going to turn it back to Doug because today he's got extra time. He doesn't need to find his oxygen mask.
I just want to say goodbye, but thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen.